Okay, fantastic. Okay, so for today, I'm not really sure what we were, what we were going to do. So someone had suggested, I think Isaac Bernstein made the suggestion that we go through some common shilas that come up in these simanim. Problem with that is that's normally what I like to do for the bechinas. I like to give you the actual shilas that come up and then see you answer them. So we'll do other shilas that probably won't be on the bechina. Maybe some of them will be. I don't know. We'll go through some shilas. You'll tell me what you think. Maybe you could see how well you read Yoni's notes, and we'll see if you're ready to handle some of these questions. I think some of them we must have raised in Shir. Some of these things, but I also don't have a time frame. Meaning, could be just to touch base. We'll only be together for 20 minutes, half hour, something like that. Let's see. We'll see how long it takes. Depends how much conversation there is. Okay, let's. So I put together a list of 15 shailas. So let's see what we have over here. So shaila number one, burning garbage. Is there an isser bishul basa b'chalav when you're burning garbage? So what are the tzadim over here? So now what do we got? Oh, so first of all, you always have in your back pocket the Kesef Mishnah, which we do not paskin like, but it's always good to have in the back pocket that anything that's not going to lead to achila is going to be okay. What else? And you have the tzad lahakel and burning garbage. If there's basav, there might be basav and chalav in the garbage. So I also said there might be basav and chalav in the garbage, which means davashen miskavein or safik psikresha. So then you're subject to that machlokas, whether it's safik psikresha is a davashen miskavein. So if you hold that a safik psikresha is a davashen miskavein, unlike Rabbi Kveger, who thinks safik psikresha would be the chiluk between the haba and the sha'avar, the safik being in the future versus the safik being in the past. But if you hold that a davashen miskavein and safik psikresha are the same, so davashen miskavein is going to be mutter. Plus, there is the possibility that burning is not derech bishul. This is machlokas achronim, that when you're destroying something, whether it's considered derech bishul at all, derech bishul is only when you're cooking something in order to create a unified entity. But when you're destroying something in order to rid the world of it entirely, so it could be that that's not called derech bishul. There's also, I don't know if we mentioned in Shir, the Das Torah, the Marsham, points out in Simon Pei Zayin that the Mishnah in Tamur and Daf Lamed Daled lists Basa B'chalav among the Nikbarim. And then it goes on to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that all of the Nikbarim can also be Nisra. You're allowed to burn all of the Nikbarim. So Basa B'chalav is one of those things that are Nikbarim, meaning they're Asabana, and therefore you have to bury them. And the halacha is you're allowed to burn all that can be buried. So that's telling you something. It could be telling you one of two things. Either it could be telling you that burning is not an Isser of Bishul Basa B'chalav, or the other possibility is it's telling you Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Basa B'chalav, right? One or the other. But it would certainly be telling you one or the other. So that is Shaila number one. So can you burn garbage? Bottom line is there are a lot of Tzadim L'Hakel. There are a lot of reasons to potentially be Mekel. So again, the four basic Tzadim, maybe it will go in reverse order or in different order. The Baruch Tam writes that burning is not derech bishul against the Chasam Sofer. The Das Torah that you see from the Mishnah in Temur Lamed Daled that either that ein bishul achar bishul basa b'chalav or that burning is not called derech bishul. You always have the Kesef Mishnah in your back pocket that only in bishul it's maybe de achila is included in the Yisr. And you have the possibility that it's a davar shein miskavein, the very strong possibility that it's a davar shein miskavein and therefore mutter. So that's what? We suggested that that's connected to psikresh lo nichle, right? That's sort of l'chanan. Okay, another shayla. Shaila number two, we're just going to go through one after the other. You work in an office and there are only non-Jews in your office. And you offer to buy lunch for the office. It's way, way cheaper to buy lunch at the non-kosher pizza store. But you know that if you buy lunch at everyone's favorite pizza store, they're all going to want pepperoni pizzas. So can you buy pepperoni pizza for your office mates? So, Nu, what are you telling them?
Yeah. They're not cooked together.
Are they cooked together? I would assume it is.
I thought it was like you put pepperoni on top of a pizza.
I assume they throw the pepperoni on and then put it in the oven.
Pepperoni made out of pig.
What?
Some pepperoni made out of...
Oh, I can't hear you. Ah, so what's so same hara Nachi and Ezra, right? So is pepperoni basar tamea, right? So let's start with that. Are we even dealing with basar b'chalav over here? So basar behemah tamea, is that subject to basar b'chalav? Certainly not, right? So that there's no machlokas about even, right? So basar behemah tamea is not kiddi, so it would not be basar b'chalav. I don't know. Does anyone know what pepperoni is made out of? Oh, no one has Google. Okay, so if it's let's say made out of cow meat. Oh, then you have the question whether there's isur hana'a on basar nevela, because ein isur chalal isur may be true about the isur achila, may not be true about the isur bishul, but the isur hana'a you have nekuda nefla. Good, but then you have the more fundamental question. 1 second. Oh, the first recipe I looked up for pepperoni looked like 70% pork and 30% beef, which is a fun Tyrovis question. Okay, fantastic. So let's assume pepperoni has at least some basar in it. But what else? Meaning, what's the isser over here? You're not being mevashel. You're getting hana. Is that called that you're getting hana? How do I raise the volume on this?
On the bottom?
No, okay, I'm going to make you louder because I can't hear you. Okay, now try.
I think we spoke about there's a machlokas feeding it to someone else's dog. So I'm not at all comparing your non-Jewish coworkers to someone else's dog. I'm just saying that I can hear, just like in that case, there's some sort of element of hana, which is in the
very good. Right, very good. Meaning, is there an inherent pleasure in providing people with food? Is Gabe still doing pepperoni?
Yeah.
Okay. Can there also be an issue of Maris Ayin to purchase non-kosher pizza with a kippah on? Okay, you could Uber Eats it or something, so we don't have to worry about the Maris Ayin issue. But that's... Okay, so yeah? Ooh, if you're instructing a non-Jew to be mevashel, so with that... So what is it? Would that be in general? It's Amir La'akum. No, it's not Lifnei Iver, because the guy has no Isser himself. If the guy had an Isser himself, it would be Lifnei Iver Midaraisa. But there's no Isser for the guy, but you're asking the guy to do something that's also for you to do. That's Amir La'akum, right? So, which is Nisr Midrabanan, L'chora. So... I mean, he's doing because you ordered it. Right? So... Meaning, you're the customer, so he's doing it for you. He doesn't care what you do with it. You can throw the pepperoni pizza in the garbage the second you leave the store, as long as you pay for it.
Doesn't the Mr. Burr say that the mailmen who are delivering mail for you, technically, there's a tzad to say that they're just doing it because it's their job, so it's not necessarily for you? Could that apply here also?
I don't think that applies over here, because in that case, they're working for a postal service, and... they're getting paid over here. It could be that the guy that's making the pizza has an ownership of the place. I mean, I go to David's Pizza in Cedarhurst. David owns the store, and he's making the pizza, and he's doing all these things. So I don't know if that would apply over here. I mean, I don't know if you can be comfortable, certainly, that would apply over here. Yeah? So pepperoni may be pre-cooked already, right? And certainly the cheese, if it was pasteurized or whatever, may also be...
Together.
Oh, meaning they've already been cooked together beforehand before you even ordered anything, and now you're cooking them now they're just being reheated. You don't know that, right? Okay, yeah, Yoni. Right. Okay, so it's sleep, but the pashtus from the shach is that it is bishul, right? So that's what we would assume. Okay, let's do a similar one. You're in culinary school. This child I actually got a few times. You're in culinary school and your group is tasked with making a basar b'chalav dish. But it's not an individual thing. You have a group that you work with, and you're the only Jew. So what can you, what can't you do when you're tasked with making a basar b'chalav dish? So let's start with the Let's start with something that is the least involvement. Let's say you say, I'm going to stand on the side and watch the rest of my team do it. And that way, I'll learn how to do it. I'll learn how to balance the ingredients and know how to make this item, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not even going to say a word. Is that mutter? So what would be the tzad to say that it's asr? The only tzad to say is if you stretch the definition of hana'a to say that that's called hana'a from basar v'chalav. But pashtus is that it's not an isra hana'a from watching. There is no isra hana'a from watching. There are achronim that say this way. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva in Har Tzvi in Yerdei Simin Reish Ayin Ches that it's not hana'a when you're not getting the hana'a from the guf hadavar, you're just getting hana'a from watching and from enjoying watching someone else do it. Furthermore, the Dagum Ravava always says the Rambam that there's no isra hana'a in basar b'chalav, basar nevela b'chalav, because the nekuda nefla and isra hana'a is connected to the isra achila, ein isra chalal isr. So if it's basar nevela that you're dealing with, you may not have an isra hana'a. But if you're going to stand aside and not going to do it, but you're going to instruct your team members on what to do, then we're back to Amir La'akum. So Luchara, that's us to tell them, okay, you would be allowed to tell them, take the milk, pour it on the meat, mix it together. You just can't say, put it in the oven, or put it on the stove, or put it on the fire, because it's not bishul. A lot of times people can get confused with that when it comes to bishul akum, that the halacha is, certainly for Ashkenazim, that any participation of the Jew in the cooking takes away bishul akum. So a lot of people think that, okay, it's not going to be a bishul akum problem at all, because I'm going to prepare everything. I'll put the chicken in the pan with the sauce and the spices and whatever. I'm going to do everything. All the housekeeper has to do is turn on the oven and put the pan in the oven. Right? So people think that that's not bishul akum. That is obviously a very significant violation of bishul akum, because you did everything but cook. Meaning, certainly cooking is defined as actually exposing it to heat. So you can't ask the guy to cook it, but you probably can tell him to mix the ingredients. And obviously you can't cook it yourself, even if it's a fried dish, because we have that shach that said, oh, there's an isra of bishul basar v'chalav, but there's no isra of maluach, there's no isra of kavush, implying that any other form of heat is certainly considered within the isra of bishul. What else you got? Why isn't just being part of a group in the first place benefiting from basar v'chalav? If we hold that re'iyah for studying isn't considered a hana'a, then wouldn't that be a significant kula by studying church art? No, because there's a dafka, the poskim say, that re'iyah of church art is a violation of al tifnu al alilim, that it's a separatist of looking into the ways of avodah zarah, but you don't have such a din by basar v'chalav. Oh, what was the psak for the pizza? I didn't think that there was an isser abdavra. I wasn't sure that that's called an isser hana'a. Meaning if you have something, I think if you have something, I could be wrong about this, but if you have something and it's dominal and then you decide to give it to somebody. Oh no, I'm sorry. No, I thought that it would be a problem. I thought, like we said, I think what Nachi said before, that if we have to at least be choshesh that there is a certain pleasure in giving something even to an animal, kal v'chomer, a person who there's going to be some reciprocity and people that you can have a relationship with. So I would think that would be an isra hana'a. But if it's if you have other tzadim lahakel, then it would be mutter. Meaning if it were actual pig meat, or you were to ascertain that that there is lots of pepperoni out there that's purely pig meat, then it's at least a suffix, and then if you have a suffix, then probably you could be makil. But see if the Rambam's nekuda nefla. That would make it a svek sveka at least, right? Meaning if you have the Rambam's nekuda nefla, then it would be a svek sveka. Your boss has a cheesesteak and he asks you to heat it up in the microwave for him because it got cold. He ordered a cheesesteak from some fast food place for lunch. You work in Philly, I guess. That's where they eat cheesesteaks, I think, right? So that's he's got a cheesesteak and he asks you to heat it up in the microwave for him. Are you allowed to heat it up in the microwave for him? What? Say bishalach bishal vaser b'chalav. Okay, and is microwave bishal in the first place? Right. What was that machlokas? I remember who and who. Ramosha Shlomo Zalman. Right. We had the Aglital. Right. Whether yeah. So you have right. So again, you have crazy placey that yesh bishalach bishal baser b'chalav, but many disagree and say ain't bishalach bishal. Maybe bishal in a microwave is like bishal b'chama and is not considered bishal. The fact that it's nevela is not going to help us over here, because over here we're dealing with Mr. Bishal, we're not dealing with Mr. Hana'ah. And Mr. Bishal certainly is going to apply to a nevela, but still it's a svek sveka. And just for good luck, you always have Kesef Mishnah. You could always throw in the Kesef Mishnah for good luck. So between the svek sveka, throwing in the Kesef Mishnah, and not wanting to get fired, you could probably heat up the cheesesteak in a microwave. Okay, next, we have another question over here. For culinary school question, I must state to Chumrin, simply one is not allowed to raise the flame under a pot that belongs to a non-Jew. Maybe you should be instructed that students should not ask them to raise the temperature. Yeah, he shouldn't ask them to do anything that involves Bishul, right? He certainly shouldn't raise the temperature himself.
But are we able to apply the
Kesef
because it is being done for
Achila,
just like
Yerach. Not being done for your
Achila.
Right. Yeah, anyone see anything on that? No? That's a good question. Like, what are the limits of that Kesef Mishnah of Siagda Raisa? Not sure. Okay, you're sitting across a long table from somebody who's eating milchigs while you're eating fleishigs. What do you need to do to make it okay? Meaning, do you even need a hecker? So, remember, the Pesach Tshuva says that the Kasav Abach B'Shem Rashal, that when you're sitting far away from each other, Kadesha Ein Yachol Ha'echol Livshot Yado V'Lechol Mashal Chavero Shari L'Divra Kol B'Lo Akeira. You don't need a hacker. The whole point of the hacker is that you might come to take something, but if it's something that you can't reach, that you can't do quickly, and it will involve getting up and walking to the other end of the table, then you don't need a hacker. And obviously, a hacker would certainly work in that case. What about the following case? I think we may have discussed this case in Shir. It's Thursday night. You got home late from work or late from yeshiva or whatever. Your whole family ate already. So you just picked up, you know, you called your wife and said, should I pick up something for myself to eat before I come home? She said, yeah, go pick up something. I'm not cooking anything for you tonight. So you pick up pizza on your way home, and you sit down at the kitchen table to eat your pizza, but the kitchen table is also being used for all the things she's cooking for Shabbos. So she takes out a hot, brisket, and puts it down on the kitchen table in the pan. So are you allowed to eat your pizza at that table? Or what would you need to do in order to be allowed to eat that pizza at that table? What do we got?
I saw something about temper. Is she putting it on the table for just a moment and she's going to move it?
No, let's assume it's going to be there for the... as temporary as your eating of pizza. That's, you know... Mistami, you would need a hacker. The question is, does a hacker work?
Yeah.
Right? You may need deos as well. Right? So over here, you have perhaps a bigger problem. The Afla and the Darkei Tshuva say that a hacker doesn't even work because you need two lines of defense, right? You need hacker and you need deos. Chachmas Adam, and it happens to be Chavetz Chaim writes in Nidchei Yisrael also, that there's no distinguishing between when there are and aren't deos. So it's machlokas aposkim whether a hacker would work. What if instead of deos, instead of having your sit, you can't say, wait, I can't eat this pizza, you got to sit down at the table with me. She's not sitting down, right? But she's in the kitchen. So can you just say, just keep an eye on me? Would that work? Does she have to be dafk at the table with you? The Rebbe Kiva Yeager says a shomer doesn't work. Right, but okay. What? So it's a machlokas, meaning you have a svek sveka again. Maybe a shomer works, and even if a shomer doesn't work, could be you don't need a shomer because a hacker alone might work. Right. So with again, you have a couple of sniff from the hakel, whether you call it a svek sveka or a few sniff from the hakel. And plus, if you put it far enough away from you on the table, you then have that also, right? That if it's far enough to the other end of the table, it could be you don't even need a hacker or anything else. So those are the three things you could put together that would allow it. Anything else come up from Gabe? Let's see. Alternatively, you could put an elevated box underneath his plate, in which case Lechari is now eating at a different table. I don't know, Gabe, you're an Erevin. So Chiluk Rishuyos, I don't know. I don't know if that's I don't know if that would work. Although, as far as what's considered, meaning that might work for a hacker, but it could be that a hacker is not good enough. Right, another case that we discussed. Yeah. Any question, Ali?
No, yes. I thought we said that putting a hacker doesn't work completely on money, or putting it far away from you doesn't work completely on money on the table.
Well, it's a machlokas, right?
Machlokas.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, your baby is drinking milk from his bottle. Can you eat meat at the same table? So certainly if his bottle's in his high chair, then that's a separate table. That's definitely mutter, right? Gabe, that we agree. That's for sure a separate... to summarize the Snifim Lahakal in the last one. Snifim Lahakal in the last one was that even though it could be that a hacker doesn't work because you need two lines of defense, but the Chachmas Adama holds a hacker does work. It could be that asking someone to remind you counts as deos, and it could be that having it at the other end of the table is good enough, and you wouldn't even need a hacker when it's at the other end of the table. Those are the three stages. Okay, so the baby drinking milk. So if the baby's in the high chair, that's definitely a different table, right? If the baby's got his own little tray on a high chair, that's not a problem. And what if the baby puts the bottle down on the table? So what do we say? I think we actually discussed this, right? Oh, so if it's in a bottle, so you have the svara that there's no concern that you're gonna meaning if the chashash is that it's gonna pour out and it's gonna be misarev, it's gonna get mixed together. And it's not just that you might come to drink from it, or even if the chashash is that it's something that you might come to drink from, that's also not so likely when it's a baby bottle. It's something that's that you clearly wouldn't use. Okay. No, if it's chalavisha, that would be. Let's assume it's milk. Babies also drink real milk sometimes. Okay. Next, can you use the same plastic table cover for milchig and fleishig meals? You have a plastic over your table. I don't remember anything about this. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Pei Tes Sif Dalid says asur lechol gvina al mapa sha'achlu babasar. Right, that you're not allowed to eat milk and meat on the same mapa. So, is there any tzad lahakel? Oh, that's without plates, right? That's the major tzad lahakel. Also, it's not clear, I mean, it's pretty clear Shulchan Aruch was not talking about plastic. And there may be a difference between plastic and cloth. Why?
You can clean plastic.
You can clean plastic, right? Cloth can't get really, you can't get, you know, if there's something that spilled, it's going to be crusty. It's not going to be clean. Meaning, certainly, if you clean the cloth, you are allowed to eat. You know, the other min on that cloth. Meaning, if you put it in the washing machine or something like that. Okay, number nine. You tasted some of the Shabbos meat before Shabbos. Do you need to wait 6 hours? So that's not enough information for you. I didn't give you enough information. Why? What information did I not give you?
Did
you swallow it? What type of food was it? So if you didn't chew, the Marshak in Prima Gadim says that you don't have to wait if you didn't chew. And even if you chewed, Rabbi Kiveger is Medayik from the Ramah, that you only wait when you eat. And that may be a subject machlokas to the Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. That may be one of the Nafkaminas. Mistama, most people would be machmir about that issue anyway. But let's say it's a little different. Let's say you tasted a potato from your cholent, or some soup from the chicken soup, then do you need to wait 6 hours? So, tavshil shalbasa, what's the halacha? Sfarim Ashkenazim, but then we saw Yitzchak Yosef is machmer even for Sfaradim, right? But it's at least the machlokas, right? So, tavshil shalbasa. And why? Why would tavshil shalbasa be asked? Why would we require waiting for tavshil shalbasa? What? There's no Bnei Shinayim, and there's no Hemshir, there's no Mashiach HaSatam, so why? Why would we be Machmir? So it's some sort of low plug. It's some sort of Gzeiro or low plug or something like that. right? So we're machmir and tavshel shabbos mishum lo plug, but neither reason would really apply. Now, if you're just taking a taste and you're not doing a maisa achila at all, it could be that that's not included in the lo plug, right? The lo plug is when you are ochel. Now, if it's full of gravy or something like that, it's very moist, then you probably do need to wait six hours. Because then it's probably more than just tavshil shabasa. Meaning if it's got like the fat of the meat on it or something like that, then you probably do have to wait. What about if you ate, and this you get the shayla all the time. Someone cut an onion with a fleishig knife. So do they have to wait? Meaning, did we discuss this yet? We didn't discuss davar charif yet and duchid sakina. Okay, so generally speaking, in order for tam to transfer from one thing to the other, you need heat. But there are certain exceptions to that where tam can transfer even without heat. Right? There's kavash kumavushal maliach karoseach, and there's also davar charif with duchid sakina. That if you have something that's a davar charif, and an onion is a classic example of a davar charif, that also has the pressure of the knife pushing down on the davar charif, so that onions cause all the problems in the kitchen. Whenever, you know, one rule is rabbi, I can give you smicha in 10 seconds. The way to do it is, if any from woman calls you with a shayla from her kitchen, it's mutter unless it involves an onion. Period. Meaning it's always, at least b'di'evit, it's going to be mutter unless it involves an onion. Well, why unless it involves an onion? I mean, that's not actually a rule, so don't start like an online smicha program where, you know, like, there's only one question on the machina. Why does an onion make everything worse? Because an onion takes something that's ena ben yama and makes a ben yama. It takes everything and turns it into tam rishon instead of a nat bar nat, which we'll discuss. But does an onion really make it fleishig? So we're machmir with a tavshil shobasar, and which is also just a transference of tam, but we didn't get to it, so I guess we should have. But Ramesha has a tshuva where he explains that that Rabbi Kiveger and the Yad Yehuda are makel when an onion was cut with a fleishig knife, because you don't have tam gadol in the onion, meaning tavshil shobasar is a low plug to begin with. But at least that's because it really gets a lot of flavor, significant flavor from the meat. So if you have a chalent where there's a potato in the chalent, the potato is very flavorful from the rest of the chalent. When you cut an onion with a fleishig knife, I know halacha tells me that there's a transference of tam, but no one takes that onion and says, that's a meaty onion. It doesn't. You don't sense that flavor as much. It doesn't become very flavorful, and therefore would not be included in the waiting 6 hours that you have by tavshil shel basar. What about the following? I don't remember if we discussed this. We might have. You're cooking fleishig on, let's say, Erev Shabbos or something, and you get your fingers a little dirty from cooking, and you just lick your fingers clean from the meat sauce. Just had a little bit of something, so you just look them clean because you weren't right near a sink to wash them. So first of all, not so sanitary, right? But okay, but that's what you did. It's all family. So no, you wait 6 hours? Is there any svarim not to?
And less than a shear.
So is there a din in shear? If you have pachas mikshir? So there is a svara that I saw quoted from Rav Shlomo Miller. Rav Shlomo Miller, one of the new members of the Mu'atzes Gedolei HaTorah, Rav Shlomo Miller. So Rav Shlomo Miller is a big posek in Canada, a Lakewood posek in Canada, and he held that since Tavshil Shel Basar in general is only Asur Mishum Lo Plug, that's only on a Maisa Achila, but licking your fingers clean is not a Maisa Achila. Wow, so Pashtus is really, should have to wait, it's including the plug. Rav Shlomo Miller thought otherwise, just because neither reason applies, so it all depends on the plug, right? Because you're not actually eating meat, you can't lick meat off your hands, it's just gravy, so neither reason applies, and meaning neither the basar ben hashinayim nor the strong flavor, and it's not really a maisa achila that you're doing. Okay, question 13. I'm running out of questions already. If you went to the pizza shop Friday afternoon, you ate pizza for lunch, and then on your way out, you noticed a sign. Someone told me in Teaneck there's a sign like this that says, We use real Parmesan cheese. So you have to wait 6 hours to eat meat that night. And does it make any difference if you had a Caesar salad that had some Parmesan cheese in it? Ah, so one tzad l'hakel might be that it's melted. Right, the Yad Yehuda writes that if it's melted, you don't need to wait because it's not going to attach to your teeth and it won't leave a strong flavor. It's a very big chiddush, but many people are somich on that chiddush of the Yad Yehuda. Plus, you always have the additional consideration that what's the nature of this din to begin with, that you have to wait 6 hours after cheese. It was Maram Rutenberg had a bad day, right? That's the nature of the din. So we do take it seriously. But when there are other tzadim lahakel, there's room to perhaps be a little more makel. Certainly if it's other kinds of cheese that are more in suffolk. I mean, Parmesan cheese is the one that kuli amu l'pligi, right? But if you have like cheddar cheese or Romano cheese or something like that, where it's at least a debate whether it's whether it has a din of hard cheese bisman hazeh, so if it's at least a suffix, so then you have svek svek. If it's both melted and it's one of those cheeses, so svek svek on waiting after cheese is going to be much more likely to be makel. Yeah. I just 1 second. I'm sorry. 1 second. So there's something like here. Was that Yoav talking? Just give me 1 second. So for some Miller thought you could be Makel. I thought that was a big Kiddush. But he said you could be Makel.
If there was a woman that was like cooking Tzlishitz right before, she's cooking like Tzlishitz meal on Shavuos, and like everyone's about to sit down for Milchitz meal, for everything to be Makel and that kind of
thing. Right, meaning those kinds of Shasas Chak situations, there's nothing else to eat and whatever. Yeah, so those kinds of situations. Who was talking before? Was it Yoav?
Yoav,
yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Gabe, you want to fact check that? Gabe,
on the actual Parmesan cheese, like, you know, shakers, it says aged 10 months.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know. Where's Gabe?
Google says if you buy solid Parmesan cheese, it's like 18 to 36 months.
Solid Parmesan cheese. And even in the shakers, Isaac is saying that it's aged 10 months. Okay. What was it? Was powdered? Is there a difference? Okay, so powdered or grated, is that going to help us? L'chora not. Meaning, if either way, whether it's about Bein HaShinayim or whether it's about the strong flavor, unless you argue that when it's grated, it's very small, that it doesn't leave as strong a flavor. But I don't know. I certainly wouldn't be comfortable with any such kula. Okay, you're not sure. Question number 14, I think, Rabbi. You're not sure when you finished your fleishig meal. When can you start eating milchid? And we discussed this one, right? This happens all the time. This is a very common shaila. So what do we say? So on the one hand, you want to say something drabon lekula. On the other hand. On the third hand, the tzlach in beitza, right, that it davishesh matir doesn't apply to muktza because it doesn't apply to something that has multiple uses, right? And it's not about this milchik, it's about all milchik. But on the fourth hand, what? Kishay, Shravad Yosef, it was never meant to be exactly precise, and if you're in the ballpark, that's probably it's probably good enough. Someone sent me the Lashon of the Me'iri. I forgot already who sent it to me. Or was it on the chat? Menachem Gans sent the Lashon of the Me'iri that 5 or 6 hours, which of course none of the poskim had the Me'iri to work with, but you know, it certainly sheds light on that Rambam when the Rambam says Kishesh. Why would he say Kishesh? So it could be that he's working with that basic premise. So there is... there's room to be makel if it's a legitimate suffix. You wouldn't stretch it. You wouldn't, you know. Yeah. Rabbi Ganak applied that slach in the Seches Beitza, that since it's not about this milchig, and I may want to eat milchig now and eat milchig later, that it's similar to a suffix muktzah. So it's whatever din it would not have a din of a davar sheyesh lamativ. One or two more. Your 8-year-old wants to eat an ice cream cone 3 hours after finishing meat. He just had a few bites of chicken nuggets for lunch and he's kind of hungry. Can you let him have the ice cream cone? Eight. Right. So I think the thing to keep in mind over here is no one had everyone had like ideas, you know, of how to do it. So this is more like a judgment call in terms of parenting. The Tzadim L'Hakal over here is that many poskim say you don't have to wait 6 hours till the kid is nine, at least. Plus an 8-year-old is probably still a Choloshim B'Sakana. And you could be making a Choloshim B'Sakana, meaning any child under nine is probably a Choloshim B'Sakana. On some level, and most posts can probably say you don't have to wait 6 hours till he's 9 years old. It's certainly not a violation of los achilim. Los achilim is only when you're giving a cheftza shel iser, not when you're giving something that can't be eaten now at this particular time. Maybe if it's within 1 hour, it would be much. I mean, definitely if it was within 1 hour, it would probably be much worse. But really, at the end of the day, these are judgment calls, and that's what makes them the hardest Shaila to answer, right? If you have a situation where, you know, you tell the parent use your judgment, so they don't like that. You know, they want to know yes or no. They want to be able to blame the rabbi. But really, there's no right answer to that question. So poskim do use it that you know children are of more the weaker constitution, and therefore they don't function fully because they're kids. So I think the poskim still assume that way. I just got a shaila. Someone just texted me that I just got two shailas like this. Two people that just tested positive for COVID now. So what do they do about fasting and Yom Kippur? So they have no idea how sick they're going to be. They clearly just got the virus a couple of days ago. So they don't know. They don't know how sick they're going to be. So when do you say, so is fasting going to put you in a weaker situation? For Yom Kippur, it needs to be Yesh Bo Sakana. So is that considered Yesh Bo Sakana? Does it depend on the person's age, whether the person has other health factors? These are difficult things. And what about younger people, right? So this is I sent it to Rabbi Glatt. I don't know the medicine of it. I don't know what the concerns are. But a lot of people are testing positive now. It's time to tighten up and be careful again. They're getting a lot of. It's not just in the news. I can report from the rabbi side of things. We're getting a lot of shailas. Last one. Someone followed a recipe for baking bread, but it was milchig, and they had no idea that there was such a thing, that there's a problem with milchig bread. What do you tell them to do? They already baked it, they're so excited, new recipe. What? Oh, okay, so first ask whether it was batel, right? Whether what the ratio of milk was.
What shape was it?
Okay, is the bread an unusual shape? How much bread do they make when they're planning on eating it? Meaning if it was going to be eaten at one meal in one day, so then it's a small amount and it's would be mutter anyway. So then the question becomes, let's say the answers are the wrong answers to all of those questions, right? They had a lot of milk and they made enough to give to their whole family and they put away to last through all of Yantiv. And it looks just like challah. it looks fantastic. So is there anything to do now? So then the question becomes, can you add a simen later? Can you fix it later? So that's a machlokas achronim. Can you fix it later? There might be more room to be makel if the person was ba'ones or b'shogeg. Shogeg would probably have a din of an ones over here. But pashtus is probably a good teachable moment. So what can they do with it if they're not going to eat? Meaning, When I say that, meaning la halacha, there's probably room to allow fixing it later. If Salvechik allowed me to afterwards stamp an OUD on it and make it okay. So now you want to shape it into funny shapes, into the letter D. You know, you shape the bread itself. You're not going to do an external simon. A simon on the bread itself. You'll cut the bread into the letter D or ches, chalavi. Right. Over here, and since the Isser is Ein Lashin, and over here the Lisha already happened, the Isser, right. So that's less of a reason to be Mekel. But still, you can't, I mean, there are poskim that do say you are allowed to fix it later, or to break it up into smaller pieces, and, you know, have everyone, and distribute it broadly, and tell everyone it's Melech, you can eat it today. You have that. You have Machlokas, how soon it has to be eaten, whether it's today, or whether it's this meal. The Chaber and the Ramah, but probably in this case, I would say it's to use it. Meaning, as far as it, using your rabbinic common sense, it's probably a good idea to make a teachable moment out of it, and tell them to give it to the housekeeper.
Can you do that?
Can you give it? There's no sound, no. You could tell them that. You could tell them. Probably it's mutter, but better to. I don't think that's an issue when you're dealing with a legitimate safek in halacha. Meaning, I often comment, people say, it's bal tashchis. People before Pesach are very nervous about bal tashchis. If I throw out all the schametz, it's bal tashchis. No, that's the mitzvah, right? That's actually what you're supposed to do. So it's it's not called being wasteful. So if you're doing that because that's what you're supposed to do, that's the halacha. So I don't think that's. Yeah, I mean, you do it in a kavodik way because it's bread, but wrap it in something and throw it out, I would think. That's all I got that's all I put together for today. What should we do tomorrow?
I have one question.
Yeah?
What if you didn't wait the requisite amount of time and you had, let's say challah after basar, let's say a shear, do you make a bracha achrona or no bracha achrona?
You didn't wait?
Meaning, let's say you had basar, and so you're supposed to wait 6 hours, or sorry.
Right.
And you waited 4 hours and you had whatever. Something that's nothing.
Yeah, I still think you said rough.
Make it rough.
Yeah.
Because it's not a fast choice.
Right. What should we do tomorrow? Any thoughts? Should we do Yom Kippur or something? Alright. Some tshuva related. Okay.
Is this the style of the test? Meaning it's gonna be like practical shilas?
Mostly. Yeah, I'll probably, but, the point will be identify the issues and,
I'm about to give a bunch of tests to the classes I teach, and so today I'm prepping review sheets because I know the kids will fetch. Could I go ask for a review sheet?
Yoni sent a review sheet.
Oh,
I could send this, these questions that I just asked, but I don't want to send, the actual test questions. That would be not fair. Okay, don't sweat it too much. Don't worry about it. All right. Okay, great.